We want to attune to this rhythm. We want to attune to this energy because when a woman is attuned to her natural rhythm, everything around her, like her environment, her family, her home, her need, like everyone around her is going to thrive.
Hello, welcome to Lunar Living. We are two sisters sharing our journey of life and motherhood. Join us as we explore our spiritual roots, tuning in with our bodies and the pulse of nature's intelligence. Let's get real with it as we laugh, cry, and grow through this life together. We are your co-hosts, Sarai Irie and Jordan Ariel. Hello, hello, everybody. We are back here for another episode of Lunar Living. Today, we are going to be talking about embodying Jewish femininity in today's day and age. Really excited about this subject. So excited to have our special guest here, Ruthie Schwalbe, right?
Correct. Yeah, you said that perfectly.
Yay. Welcome. So Ruthie is a certified spiritual psychology coach, a breathwork and meditation teacher, a daughter of Israel, and a bundle of love, light, and laughter. Hi.
Hi, guys. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh my gosh. We're so happy to have you. And it's so nice to meet you. I know you're so also this is a special like milestone for us and our podcast too, because you're the first guest that we're having on that isn't somebody that we like knew already from our life before we started this. So you're like, yeah, it's kind of awesome. Sarai found Ruthie on Instagram.
Yeah, well, actually, shout out Taylor, Life by Taylor. Out. Yeah.
Oh, through Life. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
and we've she's, talked about Taylor. A couple
I've
times
literally
on
have
here
shouted
too.
Her out because she's been such like a guiding force for like my spirituality and like motivation, like to keep creating.
Yeah, like she's years. A powerful voice like that. She really has almost like this warrior energy. It's very clear. And I feel like it picks up a lot of people on its way and just goes, okay, like keep going, keep shooting forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I find her really inspiring too. But all that said, we're just gonna take a quick little review of the spiritual energy of the month and just like some things that we found in like looking into it, because ER is actually a month that I didn't know that much about before this month. I've been kind of getting into the Hebrew months for years now, but you know, sometimes I fall off of it and whatever, but now here we are. So ER is basically all about healing. That's like the main theme of the month, is about healing. It is about and where it is in the story of, you know, the memories of our people is we have just left Egypt. And so we're now free and we're healing from all those years of slavery and we're learning how to be free. And I just find it really beautiful. Another thing that we haven't delved much into that I found really exciting to start to delve into with the Hebrew months is that each one has a different sense associated with it. So Iyar relates to the sense hear her, which
hear her.
That's Hebrew, but it does sound like English hear her, which is kind of a cool little serendipitous thing because it refers to the thinking and ruminating, but according to Rabbi Tzedak, it refers more to the thoughts of the heart than the thoughts of the head. So, and in the body, there are like, in addition to the sense of each month, there's also a body part that corresponds with each month, which is all based on the Sephirotic system in Kabbalah. And this month it is the right kidney. So Kabbalah, in Kabbalah, according to the Sephira, the kidneys are the subconscious or instinctive roots of emotion, as opposed to the heart. So the heart, yeah, it's more instinctive. The thing that's really interesting about it is these actually create a dance with one another. And the test of whether a characteristic is really integrated is when the spontaneous impulses arising from the kidneys are always and only aligned with the thoughts of the heart. So,
wow.
To paraphrase that, like what I got from that is like, we have like these like subconscious instincts that drive our actions. And we know that we're living in alignment when those subconscious instincts are in line with our ruminations and thoughts of our heart. So our impulses and our heart are aligned, and we're acting in alignment with our values. And I don't know, I just thought that was so profound, and I feel like there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
And this is all really new to me. So I love it. So yeah, that's what I got from, and I got most of this information from thejewishwoman.org. So
you wanna?
It's, yeah, well, we can put a little link in there for that.
Yeah. When I first read this, I actually did feel like a little bit like immediately of like a closing. Like I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm not in alignment, like my instincts aren't in alignment with my thoughts and ruminations of the heart. But then I was like, sometimes they are though. Sometimes they are. And like, I've really been giving a lot of like attention and focus to making this so. And so it's definitely growing,
mm-hmm.
you know, this year probably more than other years, like just being aware of it is like a whole nother thing.
Mm. What's coming up for me is like the concept of trust. And it's like, there's, our body knows how to take care of us. Like our body knows how to keep us alive without us even thinking about it, without us controlling it, without us trying to do anything. And we're always like, am I breathing right? Am I eating the right thing? Am I moving enough? Like, do I have like, is something wrong with me? Like my stomach hurts. I have a cramp here. Is this okay? Is this okay? And we're just constantly in question of like our body's natural ability to actually give us the signals that we need in order to take care of it better and understand that it's already taking care of itself at like 100%. And are we like, when you talked about like the, and I think I'm understanding this correctly, so jump in if that's not the case, my interpretation of the organs in the body working beyond like this, without the need for us to control or even understand what they're doing, and to trust that like how they are running the show is how the show is supposed to be run. And we don't even need to question it or go into it. Mm-hmm. And like aligning our thoughts with that mechanism is essentially what I'm understanding. It's like aligning ourselves with like trusting, with just like being here with our bodies, not needing to be like anywhere beyond that, anywhere within our thoughts. And just, yeah, trusting this like extremely wise mechanism and working with it versus mm-hmm. like outside of it or like around it.
Like witnessing it and being in awe of it rather than like trying to regulate it. And like, I feel like that's like what I was expressing, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, everything is already perfect. Awesome. Thank you for that.
Yes. I know. I love that takeaway. And I feel like we could unpack this. And there was so much more in that article that I found too, that I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, I could probably spend a long time delving into this. But yeah, that said, it's not all we're here to talk about. We're wanting to actually, well, we want to hear more about you, Ruthie. Tell our audience a little bit and us. A little bit more, tell us about yourself and yeah, who are you?
Yeah, who am I? That's the question I ask every morning when I wake up. Who am I? Who am I today? Am I going to take in having my tea at the same time? What I learned about me yesterday, or am I just going to totally start from scratch today? So my name's Ruthie. I am right now in Toronto, Canada, and I guess I'll like, I don't know, like, do you want me to talk about my work or just my hobbies, my favorite color?
What is your favorite color? And then let's talk about your work.
My favorite color changes, which really annoys my sister and other people who are close to my life. Currently, it's blue. It has been pink and orange, and that's all I'll say about my favorite color. But it's blue right now,
That mine
and
changes too.
yeah, it's. I think it should change. Like, I think depending on what season you're in, and I know like talking about your favorite color is boring, but I actually think it's exciting because I think it actually relates to, like, where you're at or like what you're in need of. Because every color resembles like a different type of energy or a different type of expression, and it's like what is pulling your attention right now. So for me, it's
So
blue.
true.
Yeah,
Yeah.
for now. And yeah, as Jordan and Sarai said earlier, I think I'm a spiritual psychology coach and I teach breath work and meditation. I've studied meditation under many different teachers in many different parts of the world. Not only that I think about it, mostly Canada, Israel, US. And yeah, my spiritual psychology coaching kind of started. Like, I was working with people one-on-one through my breathwork certification for a while, and I was teaching yoga for a while and working events and different jobs throughout the years alongside all this. And I just didn't really see myself in this like wellness umbrella. And I didn't see myself, what I mean by that is like a Jewish woman. Like, all of my mentors were not Jewish, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it was hard for me to see myself in this world as like the only person with like my type of understanding and culture and background in that space. And I was sharing this with a friend of mine in Mexico, Lauren, who's also does incredible work. I just want to shout out like every person I know. And she introduced me to my now mentor. We've been working together for about 2 years, Erin Doffeld, and I studied my certification under her. And she is a wonderful, empowered Jewish woman practicing like psychology. And she did her, I think she did her master's at Columbia University years and years ago, which is how her and my friend Lauren met. And then, yeah, Lauren introduced me to her, and I started working with her and then doing her certification, and then essentially started seeing people after I finished that, which took me about a year to complete. And I worked with kids, I worked with adults. I'm actually doing my first couple session tomorrow, with a husband and wife. So yeah, they reached out to me, and I was like, I sent them a whole thing. I'm like, I'm not a couples therapist. You will be my first couple. But essentially what I do, like, I'm an intuitive, but I also like to use a lot of practicality. I like to ground a lot of this like spiritual work or psychology work, and also do a lot of like physical movement, release, breath work, versus just talk therapy. So yeah,
Dope.
it really
Wow.
depends person to person, like how we work together or what they're open to doing. Like, some people are a little bit more closed off at the beginning. Everyone kind of opens up after like several sessions together. But at the beginning, they're like, I don't like, I've had clients be like, I don't want to do the breath work. Like, I don't want to do the meditation. Like, I just want to talk and I want to get your input on this. And I'm like, okay, got it. We'll see what happens here. And then every single client I've had has done the meditation and the breath work. And I curate it based on what they're saying. So if, for example, if someone's talking to me about a breakup or a divorce, and then I'm kind of pulling out an understanding, like the energy that they're experiencing or that they're trying to like express to me, and also then understanding where it is they want to go, I'll take in clues, kind of like energy readings from them speaking, and then we will do an embodiment practice of like a breath work or a meditation to put that person where they want to be, like preemptively, like using like their mind, and also putting them back to where they are, and sometimes feeling the difference and understanding like how both circumstances or situations can feel in the body, what we need to let go of, where we need to move closer towards. And it's just, yeah, it's something I can talk about for like hours, but I'll kind of
Oh
leave
my
it
gosh.
there. And with kids, it's just like teaching them how to feel themselves without all the noise of what all the parents and the teachers and the kids kind of scream at them. And it's like, okay, let's go back to your energy. Like, where do you feel calm? But I stopped working with kids in like January because it was a lot. And I was volunteering with kids a lot online in Israel, like right after the war broke out. And it was a lot. So I moved more towards adults again.
Yeah, because you have to keep yourself regulated, right? And well, and like those of us who want to serve others and who like our work is to serve others. It's like if you give too much and you end up drained and like you end up losing your own like stability in your own way, and then you're not any good to anyone anymore. You know, I've been a witness to people like even in my own life who just give and give and give, and they give to the point where they've given so much that they now need to be taken care of. They've put their health on the back burner for, you know, I see it happen with like, you know, mothers sometimes where they give and give and give. They don't fill their own cup, and then like, yeah, they have health problems and their kids end up needing to take care of them. You
Yeah, or
know.
they pass that on to their kids too.
So we're trying to break that cycle, and not in the sense where it's like self-care at the expense of others too, right? It's all like it's a dance. It's like, okay, you know, fill your cup and then give, not just like fill your cup and fill your cup and fill your cup. But that's just a little take that I have on that. I think the work that you're doing sounds so beautiful, and I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. It reminds me of like I always bring up this garden analogy, but like you need to like tend to the garden so that like plants can flourish and the trees can fruit and then like people can eat the fruit and stuff, but like you need to tend to it as well. So it's like
It's true. And also, I mean, you have to water yourself as the gardener. If you're not drinking water, you're going to pass out while you're trying to garden.
It's kind of like the action piece. Like most of my work, like my values in my work, like the three main concepts that I work with is acceptance over forgiveness as well. Just like a lot of acceptance, responsibility, like taking responsibility for like where you're at and where you want to go. And no amount of like sitting and praying or wishing is going to get you there, but like take responsibility for where you want to go. Sorry, a giant truck is going by. Okay. And then move into like taking ownership and power and being in action of that. Right. So it's very like, my clients sometimes make fun of me because I talk about the body a lot and like moving the body and like using your body and being like, oh, you want to feel more love in the world? Well, guess what? Like, God's not going to fill you with feelings and love because you want to be felt with love. It's going to, it, he, she, however you want to describe how people connect to the universe or God, is going to put you into a situation void of that. And then be like, you want to experience more love? Here's a situation that it doesn't exist. Can you bring it here?
Oh my gosh, I have
Can you
chills.
show up for that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like being like a being of light, it's like you deal with so much darkness and you deal with a lot of the heavier, more painful emotions. And like one might sometimes be like, why? But it's because of this. It's because that's how you bring it in. That's amazing. I love everything that you do. And now I'm like, I want to work with you. Let me know if you're taking new clients.
I might soon. What month is it right now? May,
May,
probably by end of June, I will.
yeah. It's ER.
I'm like looking at on my laptop, I have like the regular months. I don't even know what to call it anymore. And on my phone, I have ER.
Oh my gosh, that's so
Wow.
cool. I want to update my phone to that. That's so
I
awesome.
used to tell people in my group program, like, which we'll talk about probably in a minute, because it's so on board with your guys's just even podcast name. I made everyone, like, I don't just work with Jewish people, obviously, and I made everyone put the Jewish calendar on their phone because it's such a good period tracker to have, because it's a lunar calendar. So I'm like, you can have a period app too, but like, you don't even need one if you're following the Jewish calendar. Like, it's, yeah,
Okay,
you
I'm like,
basically, yeah, I'm like, get it out. I'm like, I used
literally,
to have
I'm
like a
like, before I
how-to.
forget, I'm
In
like,
settings, and then you can add, I forgot exactly how, but you can Google it. I don't remember now.
oh, that's amazing. I'm gonna do it too. But yeah, so also, okay, so
Great.
you have a program called Moon Up?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about that, and what are the offerings that you do provide, like for women, and having to do with like cycles and periods
Oh
and, you
my God.
know?
Oh my God. Let me just try not to explode with everything that I want to say. So, okay, how do I want to start talking about this? So, Moon Up, first of all, it's a group program. I've run it 3 times. I'm about to launch the fourth container. Really, well, like I'm in the middle of creating it. I want it to be longer and bigger because originally my first 3 groups, I followed people for a month. So we would meet like weekly and we did like 4 sessions once a week for a month. So I followed people through 1 cycle and then I would have like a catch-up call with every single individual one-on-one in the group to see how the information and everything they learned has been like implemented into their life. Because like, yeah, it's one thing to like listen or take notes, but it's like another thing to actually embody and be in practice and be in action. And I really hold people accountable for that because I'm like, what are you doing if you're not doing that? Like that's also a version of disassociation when you're just like learning and understanding, and then you're like, okay, trash. Like what was that time for? So yeah, I'm pretty intense with that sometimes.
No, it's good. I'm
So
so guilty of that sometimes. I mean, in my
we
life, I've
all
been
are
there
because
for
there's
sure.
so much information like overload, right? And we're always like having our fingers into like 10 million different things. And usually when clients come to me, they're like, I want to like work in all these 10 million different things. And I'm like, I say to them, how you do one thing is how you do everything, like the classic saying. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, we're gonna focus on one thing. One thing. We pick one thing. And they're like, no, I can't pick one thing. I'm like, if you can pick one thing, I promise you, everything else is going to trail behind. Like, it's going to be pulled. Like, all the things that you're talking about are going to be worked on. But there's this one thing that's like the big, like, what's the big story for you? Like, what's your big story? And it's usually one thing. And if they don't know what it is, we'll talk about what's going on in their relationships or their personal life or professionally. And eventually, the pattern of the one thing shows up quite quickly. But yes, Moon Up. So essentially, I was working with women mostly. I worked with like a couple men before, like I think literally 2 or 3. And I noticed every woman I worked with would like hit a wall, like eventually in the month, like once a month, once every few weeks. I hate my dog. I hate my husband. I hate my job. I'd feel depressed. Like, I don't know where to go from here. And I'm like, and I would hit that wall too. And I'm like, what is this? Like, this is consistent. This is like now showing up as like a pattern because I'm so like I call it tracking, like when I'm with a client and I'm so like focused. So in order for me to be able to pick up energy and pick up patterns, so this was something that I was like tracking and picked up. And then I was like, okay, this is not like individual to this person. This is like a pattern over across many women, including myself. And then I started to study more about cycles. And I studied this also alongside my mentor. She did a lot of stuff about the female hormonal cycle in our program. And then I just started using myself as a guinea pig and understanding. I used to have horrendous period cramps. And I went to the doctor and I got like everything under the sun, like blood tests, cameras shoved up me, making sure everything is like working okay. A lot of different just like appointments to like figure out what was going on, and they're like, you're good. Like, if you still have pain, like you can go on birth control. And I was like, no, like, yo, like I'm not good. Like, I'm not good. And then I used to like come in on my period and be like, see, I'm not good. And they're like, what are you doing here? Anyway, so then I was like kind of bummed out because I was like, is this energetic? And like, what does that mean? And I was bummed out because I was like, if it is energetic, like that just takes a lot more focus, a lot more work. And it kind of, I was like, I kind of wanted it to be a diagnosis versus like an energetic thing, just because I was so tired of
Right.
this. And essentially, then I started on my own studying the male hormonal cycle. And then I started realizing that this entire world, which is, there's nothing wrong with the male hormonal cycle. It's a beautiful cycle. It's a 24-hour cycle. You're probably already aware of this. It moves with the sun. The male hormones are at their highest in the morning and they're at their lowest. This is like according to like a healthy average male body, by the way. Obviously, if you're going through times of grief or depression or stress, this is not the case. Same for women. At night when they're sleeping, so after 10 p.m. roughly, the hormones in a male body are at their lowest. When a female's hormones are at their lowest, she's in menstruation. We're not sleeping, we're awake for like 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 7 days. And the expectation in society is to continue to function as if you're in follicular or as if you're in ovulation, where our hormones are the highest and we have the most energy when our metabolism is like burning things like a beast. And it's like, I'm actually not in follicular and ovulation every single day of the month. And
What is follicular? Like I've heard follicular luteal and like I've or luteal, like I've heard them, but I actually don't even know what that is. Like I know ovulation. I know like I might sound like very like
you don't
dumb or
sound
something, but I'm
great
like
question. I feel like because I think and talk about this so often, I forget, like I explanation is necessary. So follicular is what this phase of your hormonal cycle right after you're finished menstruating. So your energy starts to come up, estrogen also begins to rise during this time, and you just your hormones start to go up. And there's also a, oh, now I forgot if it's in follicular or ovulation, there's a testosterone spike as well. So you have more energy. So you just finished menstruation, you're moving into the next phase of your cycle. Follicular lasts anywhere between like 7 to 10 days, depending on the length of your cycle. And then you move into ovulation. And I literally do talk about each of these for like an hour during the program. And get everyone to like tune in and feel like what how they experience each phase of the cycle and like kind of what intuitively comes up. And when you're in ovulation, you're ovulating. So it's the most likely time that you can conceive a child in your womb. And also like the skin is a little bit more oily, the energy is higher, your scent is different. You kind of have this like glow to you. You're like a little sweatier, a little bit glowier. I picture kind of like a goldenness during ovulation. So I always recommend to women who have their own businesses or have working corporate, like if you can book your meetings around ovulation, do it, because people are gonna like be pulled in by your energy during that time, and you're gonna have a lot larger of a capacity to be around people or to be in situations that may annoy you during luteal or menstruation. And then, yeah, ovulation anywhere between like 1 to 3 days, I usually cap it at. And then you move into luteal or luteal, some people say, which I kind of think about as summer, fall, winter. Yeah, the fall. I have to say all the seasons to remember which month. When, like the fall, so you're kind of like prepping for winter, which is menstruation. So you get progesterone during luteal, which is like the cool hormone, like it kind of like chills you out. I think like grandmother energy, like it's soft, but she's in charge, like it's very grounding, kind of like if you know Ayurveda, like it's a very kapha time, very earthy. And it's long, it's up to 2 weeks. So you have time to prepare for menstruation. You have time to start to be in the shift and slow things down and like take care of your future self. I kind of also look at menstruation as like birthing, like you're getting rid of whatever you've built up for the past month. There's also literature that talks about like you're kind of birth, like allowing things to move through you that have built up over the past 100 days, not just the past 30 days. So it's like it kind of like wraps around like in that way a bit longer than just your past cycle. And you're getting ready, like you don't want to enter menstruation and then you're like, I didn't prepare anything, I have nothing to eat, I have meetings, I have all these extroverted things that I signed up for, or I promised myself to. And now I don't want to show up for them because I planned them in follicular. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I want to show up for that. Yeah, I want to go out with you and sing karaoke at the end of the month. And then you start menstruating, and you're like, I don't want to do any of that. And then what it looks like on the outside is that you're out of integrity. You're saying no to things you originally said yes to, or you're pushing through and doing things that you had the energy for in follicular that you don't in menstruation. And then your body starts to give you signals of, we don't want to be here. We are uncomfortable. And then people like categorize this as like PMS, moodiness. Like, I don't believe in any of that stuff. I just believe in that being a signal that your body's giving you of, excuse me, we're menstruating. Can you stop pretending that you're not a woman and stop living in this 24-hour male cycle society and listen to me and listen to my needs? And a lot of women, even exercise, like exercise is such a big thing that I like kind of like, I don't yell at people, but like I aggressively speak to people about when I'm in gyms and how we should not be intensifying our cardio when we're menstruating or even just before we begin our menstruation. Because again, our hormones are dropping. Like we want to attune to this rhythm. We want to attune to this energy because when a woman is attuned to her natural rhythm, everything around her, like her environment, her family, her home, her need, like everyone around her is going to thrive. When a woman is in tune with her rhythm, like that is being in tune with the rhythms of nature, like the rhythms of your body. Like if you can't go outside all the time, depending where you live, a city, a farm, who cares? But you can attune to your own, your infradian rhythm. So bears also have an infradian rhythm. They hibernate half the year. Our hormonal cycle is an infradian rhythm. It's connected also to our, there's a circadian rhythm. So a light, it's connected to your external environment, right? How light is perceived through your retina and your body, how your skin, your cells read that. It allows your body to understand like, oh, time to eat, time to sleep, time to release melatonin, time to release cortisol, time to wake up. That's your circadian. Infradian is internal. It runs on your internal clock. Doesn't have to do with your external environment in order for that rhythm to be like turned on in your system. It's really cool.
Wow.
It's
You are magical. I'm like
blowing my mind right now.
and I wanted to say, I never finished my sentence at the beginning when I was like the male hormonal cycle is 24 hours. The female hormonal cycle, as everyone who's a female already knows intuitively because you live it, is 28 days, roughly. Again, everyone's cycle slightly changes. It, or slightly is different, just not everyone's the exact same length. Yeah, it's 28 days where you're different every single day. Your hormones change every single day, meaning what you liked yesterday, you may not like it tomorrow. And those needs shift also with sex, with food, with energy. I used to have an ex-partner that would get confused of like, you liked things this way yesterday. And then I would be like, if there's something wrong with me, I remember liking that yesterday and not wanting that today. And it's like we're constantly in this shift because of our hormonal cycle. And it's a power. It's not like, I know some people think it's like, oh, I wish I didn't have my period, or I wish I didn't have to go through this as a woman. So I could just, and I'm like, so you could just what? Work more,
So you could just
eat,
be a man.
not who you are. Yeah, like you can just be a man. Like, I
So it'd be
don't
easier
understand
in this
what the
world.
desire is. And yeah, like during follicular, I don't take breaks. Like, I don't need it. Like, I can work 10 days straight. I can work out 10 days straight twice a day. Like, I'm good to go. Like, energy is pumping. Like, let's be in that flow. And then, right when luteal starts for me, so after ovulation, I'll feel that drop. And again, I'm a very physical person. Everyone will have their own kind of tells, their own signs. I'll feel it in my hips. I'll feel it in my legs. Like if you kind of just squat, I squat often, like at the gym. And I once the squats start feeling like too much, I'm like, ooh, I'm entering luteal. My muscles are not, there's also like explanations of how this actually works in the body and how like our muscles, I forgot all the language for it, but like we're not able to carry as much load, like we'll fatigue faster. So once you start feeling that in the body, when you're working out or just walking or doing your daily movements, and you're like, why am I tired now? Why can't I do carry as much load as I did last week? Well, it's because you're in luteal, bitch. Like stop acting like you're in follicular. And when we start respecting our own system like that, our output is like 100 times greater because we're giving when we have the capacity for it, and we're not when we don't have the capacity for it. So the next time we enter follicular, we're not burnt out because we respected the time you're in menstruation and the end of luteal.
This is amazing. I know. I'm like, also, I've always had irregular periods, like since I had my first one. Like I've never been like on a 28-day cycle. I actually also am really horrible at tracking. Like I'm working on it, and this podcast has helped me track it a little bit more, but
You
I'm
have to, track it, because a period is not something that just happens to you during like everything else you're doing. It is you. It is you. It is your body. It is your rhythm. And if you start to respect her and live according to her, everything will start. You'll understand like things that came up when I started really living more in line, or just like aware. I'm not like like this expert who's always perfectly living in alignment with my cycle. I'm just like aware, right? So I'm like, if like things irritate me a lot more right before I move into menstruation, because I'm starting to get closer to my winter, to my menstruation. So I know not to have like not I can't have as many things asked of me right before I menstruate, because I'll snap like after the third, fourth thing. Ruthie, come do this. Can you do this? Da, da, da. So I'll like let everyone in my life know, which people used to make fun of me, and it used to bother me, but now I actually do think it's kind of funny and I don't mind anymore. I've just fully accepted this, and I know it's not the norm in every circle, and in my very like Russian Israeli Jewish circle, and like all the men in my family, I'm like, guys, I'm going to menstruate today, so please don't tell jokes at my expense. I will cry. And they're like, oh my God, Ruthie, like they get like really annoyed, but it helps me be less sad.
Yeah,
Oh my
that's
gosh.
amazing. Just like
Yeah.
making them aware of it too. Like, whatever, let them have their reaction, but then like you set that boundary.
Yeah, totally.
So, how?
And oh,
Oh, sorry.
sorry,
No,
please.
it's okay. I was going to ask you another question, but what were you going to say?
I was going to say, when I talk about each phase in the program in Moon Up, I accompany it by an exercise, like either an intuitive practice or a breath work or a meditation that is aligned with the energy of each phase. So if people are like, I don't know what you mean by like ovulation, or like what that feels like to be in that or in menstruation, then I'll attune you to that energy during the practice. And then kind of carry that wisdom, that knowing with you, like into your next cycle. So that's always fun too.
That's awesome. Is
Yeah.
there anything you can do? Like, well, I guess you don't need to prepare for ovulation. Like, now that you've explained it, I'm like, okay, I'm like in luteal, right? That's like the first one after menstruation.
No, that's follicular.
Oh, follicular. Okay, yeah. So
So it
then, like,
moves
that's where I'm at
follicular.
right now, too. Oh,
You
wait,
go from
no, I'm
follicular. I
menstruating. Oh, you got your period like 2 days ago,
Yeah, actually,
right?
I was at a birth. I
Oh,
was at a
okay.
birth and I started my period like the same day. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you're menstruating, so it's the 20th of ER, so you're towards the, we're getting into the new moon in like 8 days, so you're kind of like in between. I'm in luteal, so I'm supposed to start menstruating tomorrow, but I usually give myself like a 24-hour window of when it will come. And once you start tracking too, you'll notice when you're late. And some people are like, oh, like a day or two or three, like it'll come. And I'm like, no. Once you start tracking, your period should be quite consistent. And if you're over your like 24-hour threshold, like something's up that's affecting your body. Have you experienced more stress lately? Are you ever giving yourself the chance to actually relax and not clench your hips? And like we're always kind of like squeezing our buttholes, like squeezing our pelvis, like almost in this bracing sensation. Like, are you ever allowing your body to be out of that brace? Like, are you ever like fully, is your body feeling safe enough to be your body? Or is your body in this place of constantly worried that you need protection? Why is your period late? Why are we stressed? Why are we not releasing consistently? And some people do have irregular periods based on like larger health issues, of course. And I'm mostly speaking to the women that are not in that category, but are still maybe experiencing some like differentiation of when their menstruation comes.
I definitely think that mine's related to my hips, because I have hip issues for sure, like of like really intense like tension, and I've been working through it so much, but it like affected my birth with my son, and like it's, yeah, I mean, go into a whole thing on that, but you're saying this and I'm like, okay, of course it's all connected. That makes perfect sense. And yeah, because lately, since I've been becoming more aware of it, I noticed I'm going about like my cycles are about a month and a half. Like I'm going like new moonish, full moonish, but like a month and a half apart from each other.
And by a month and a half, do you mean like 20? So a month, are you counting as like 28 days? So your cycle is about like 30, what would you say, like 36
yeah,
days?
Yeah, about 36. But I should be tracking it more like exactly instead of just being like, okay, we're like the moon's pretty big right now.
Yeah, I would say I want you to track it for the next 2 months and be in like message me.
Okay.
And I want to know. Yeah, I want to. We'll talk about this after,
okay,
but
okay,
I want
okay.
to know. I want to know how this all comes. And if your cycle is actually 36 days between a period or including, because then that's kind of including, that's a, like a version of a regular cycle. If your period is within that 36 day window. Yeah.
Interesting.
But we'll see okay. As you track.
So is your program, it's called Moon Up because like the cycle is generally 28 days and so is a lunar month, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And like Rosh Chodesh, I don't know if you guys may have talked about this already on your yes. podcast. It's essentially this, like, it's a very feminine holiday or like a feminine ritualistic time. And it's, I read like years ago now, I'm trying to remember how it was like this beautiful piece of writing that I can't even tell you where it's from. Cause if I find it, I'll send it to you guys, but it's essentially how like God's gift was to women was like Rosh Chodesh and like signaling like the new moon and full moon. And I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Red Tent, and how women menstruate at different times and you move into like the red tent while you're menstruating and the ones that aren't menstruating take care of the menstruators and like vice versa. And also it's a different, holds a different energy based on when you menstruate. So like if you're menstruating at the full moon, it's a very external energy, right? The moon is full, it's bright. This is usually a time naturally when animals are actually in ovulation and when they're mating, because you can see clear in the dark forest where we're all running around and living to find your mate, to find your partner. So it's a very like alive energy, and already how we already perceive the energy of the full moon. It's like, oh, crazy things happen in the full moon, right? So if you're menstruating during the full moon, an interpretation of that is you have something that's deep within you that you are meant to share, that you are meant to express, versus when you're menstruating at the new moon, it's kind of like the more natural menstruation time because the moon is at its darkest and you're at, in that sense, like your lowest hormonally. So it's kind of this energy of, in order for me to show up, I need to close off from everything at this time, like that darkness, right? And you're not meant to share during this time. You're meant to rebuild. You're meant to rest. You're meant to take space. So being like in understanding of when you're menstruating during full moon or new moon and your cycle may shift. So people who go through, I've noticed like divorce, career change, they move into a full moon cycle because there's a lot going on in their life, or maybe they're starting a business. There's a lot, they're kind of like, their energy is kind of like external and out there. And then when things kind of simmer down, they move into a new moon cycle. And they're like, your body's always kind of in tune with your external environment and how you're reacting to that. And then being aware of that really allows you to like flow within that even deeper, even more.
Oh my gosh. You're making me tear up. I don't know why that's like.
Yeah, because I'm giving permission for women to live like as they are versus as they think or like feel like they or were told they should be. Mm-hmm. And I used to describe this as like, women are fish and men are monkeys and we love a monkey, like build us a treehouse. I'm like sounding all right now. Anyways, build us a treehouse. Women are fish and we're like, hey, you have to climb this tree. And the monkeys are like, let me show you how to do it. It's so easy. And the fish are like, oh my God, this is really hard. Actually, I cannot climb this tree. What is wrong with me? And then the monkeys created all these harnesses and these belts and these ropes and they attach the fish to them. And they're like, look, like we can assist you a bit, but like, you got to climb the tree. And some fish are really strong and have bigger fins and they're kind of able to like muscle up that tree. And I'm just like, yo, that's the sea. Can you just jump into there and you don't need to put out this effort and actually just be in the flow of how you naturally move and like look at all that you are and that you can accomplish in your natural rhythm. And then all these fish jump in the sea, which is what happens after you do moon up.
Yay, yay, let's jump in the sea.
That's beautiful. Yeah, it's like it doesn't have to be this hard. It doesn't have to be as hard as it is.
No. Like,
And
no.
there's like so much I feel like for me, like I'm pretty hard on myself. And so when I'm not like performing well or whatever, like I'll like be on my period and feel like, oh, I need to achieve all of these things, and then I'll feel like shit about myself that I'm not doing it, and then it like compiles up. It's not even just like a moment of hardness, but it's like then I'll like start identifying with it. So everything that you're saying is really like validating and freeing, because like I know that there needs to be a change. I know it's like a slow change. I know it's a softness that I need to take on with myself. But like lately I feel like I've just been like, just do it, just do it. I've been like Nikeing myself to the fucking ground. I'm like, just do it, just do it, just do it. And I'm like, why do I feel like I can't like get my head above water, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes with the like sometimes things truly do need to be done, especially in motherhood. And with that, I like to give like the opening of do it, but drop the urgency around it. Like do the same things that you're doing, but like sometimes attuning to like what energy you're in, it's just like a mindset shift. The tasks or what you look like on the outside may look the exact same, but the way you talk to yourself or the way you think about why you need to do the things that you're doing, that's the shift. And that's what you can attune to during like follicular or ovulation or menstruation or really like any time, any day. And if you're just tired, like some people are like, I'm in follicular or I'm in ovulation, but I'm just tired. I'm like, that's okay. Like you can still be tired. Like you're also a human being, you're dynamic, you're going through different things at different times. Your needs shift. Your needs shift all the time. Like what worked for you last month may not work for you this month. And sometimes, yeah, again, like things just need to get done and we need to show up and step up in our lives for that. But can we kind of still be aware of where we're at while we're showing up for all those things?
Okay, and so like ideally, as far as like these cycles in our lives syncing up to the moon, like you're like, am I understanding this correctly? Like a healthy cycle in general is like you are ovulating with the new moon, or sorry, ovulating with the full moon and like menstruating with the new moon, right? That's like
I wouldn't define that as a healthy cycle. Like any way that your cycle is expressing itself is a healthy cycle. I just like to look at the like what it means based on where the moon is, what it means for you it when you're menstruating. So like if I'm explaining this clearly, like you can be menstruating on full, new, waning, waxing. So the moon's getting smaller, bigger, in full, or at its sliver, right? All of those are healthy cycles. How I just explained it earlier is just to explain the energy of the moon and the difference of it when it's in full and when it's in sliver to understand how that energy could be like mirroring or reflecting or working with you.
Okay, right. And now I'm recalling something else that you said earlier too about like the full moon being like maybe meaning like if you're menstruating with the full moon, you have something more to share. And it was like the day after the full moon, I was at a birth and I started menstruating. I was a doula at that birth. And so I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense because I was sharing, I don't know. It was like at a point where I was sharing something with my client, my friend.
Well, you're sharing your full, all your energy,
Yeah,
right? You're
everything.
sharing
I was
everything.
there
You're at
100%.
birth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that releasing energy was probably very potent too.
Yeah. And it even made sense. Like I found it very poetic at that time too. I was like, oh my gosh, of course, this is like, even like where she was at in her process when I started. I was like, this just makes sense. I don't know. It was really interesting. So yeah, but
Yeah, God is funny that way. The
right.
universe.
We already addressed that question.
Yeah, so I am loving all of this moon talk and all of this divine feminine cycle energy. But I do want to shift gears because I wanted to ask about some experience. Like, I know I initially reached out for you to do the podcast because you had an experience in New York just being openly Jewish that was like really tough to say the least. And so I wanted to ask if you could share about your experience being an openly Jewish woman during this time.
Yeah, and it's currently, just for anybody who's listening in the future, right now it's currently May of 2024. So that's where we're at in the history of the world. Things are complicated for
Yeah, and hard. It's hard to be openly Jewish.
And those who only check their Jewish calendar, it's the 20th of ER.
Yes.
Yes.
This will be coming out on the 27th of ER.
Which is actually my son's Hebrew birthday, and he's gonna be three. And also, this is a total side note, but we're going to have like a shearling party for
Oh,
him. So
amazing.
nobody in my family has ever done this. I'm just kind of like delving more into like our old, like our roots and everything, like our so we it's like a Jewish boy's first haircut is on his third birthday, and that's also when like in more like traditional communities they start wearing like a kippah and tzitzit every time, like all the time. We're not really like gonna be implementing that, but I am gifting him a kippah and tzitzit that he can wear if and when he wants
Oh
to.
my God.
And
Precious.
like, we go to like music class at Chabad, so I figure maybe like when we go there I could be like, hey, do you wanna like wear like some of the other kids do? I don't know. I just think it's so sweet. So yeah.
So
So
sweet.
that's what's gonna be going on the day that this episode is released, is my son's gonna be getting his first haircut and his first
I'm so
tzitzit.
Wow, right
That's gonna
before
be fun. Yeah.
the
A new beginning for
Yay.
my boy. So.
Yeah, truly, truly. Wow, that's amazing. Sarai, to your question slash comment. So I'll explain a little bit. I'll try and keep it short. I don't even remember that much of like what specifically was said. And there's a classic saying, like you don't remember what people say, but you remember how people made you feel. And that is kind of like lives and breathes still in my body, even though I've done a lot of work to just try and like get that out, and not wear it because it's not worth it. But it's well, I'm like
Yeah.
having a reflex right now.
Yeah, it's yucky for sure.
Yucky. Yeah. So I was in, my sister lives in New York. I go there very often to see her or to cat sit while she's away. And I was there, when was this? May. It was this month. Wow, a lot happened
Must
this
been
month.
the yeah, must been the beginning of this month.
Beginning of this month. Yeah. I went twice this month, actually. Once for like 5 days, once for like 10 to like 2 weeks ish. Anyways, I was at a restaurant. It was my last or second last night in the city. And I had a really long, beautiful day. And I was really hungry and I wanted to try this restaurant, but it's really hard to get a reservation there. And I walked by and I was like, you know what? If they can seat me right away, then Bashir it. If they can't, then I'm going to go to the deli and get a sandwich because I am too hungry to like search for anything else. So I went in and they sat me right away at the bar. And I don't know if like, I'm sure a lot of people have been to New York, but if you haven't, like a lot of the restaurants, especially the popular ones, they just kind of sit you really tight. And I'm at the bar and you're almost like brushing shoulders with like the people to the left or right of you. There was this man sitting beside me at first. Really great vibes. He was Native Hawaiian. He was telling me his friend worked there. He was like, mahalo. And he like gave him extra dessert and he was like, enjoy your night. We had like a good little chit chat. He left. And then the seat beside me was empty. And I was like halfway through. I ordered like an entire branzino to myself. I'm just like getting going at it. And then they
Yes.
sent this woman to my right. And I was already like exhausted. I already had my little like social share, of the person sitting next to me. And I kind of just like mentally decided, like, I'm just gonna be in my own space, finish my food, take some deep breaths, and then go. And she sits beside me, and I could feel on my right, her energy was very positive and open and friendly and young. And she turns to me and she goes, "Hi, how are you?" And I was like, "Oh, what a sweet little lady." She's probably like in her mid-20s at max, whatever kind of age range. And I was like, "Okay, she's cool. Let's chit chat." So I was like, "Hi, I'm good. You can't go wrong. The food here is great. Whatever you order, we just get into this organic conversation." And we start laughing. We start talking about different anecdotes about ourselves. And it's fun when you meet someone new, they know nothing about you. You can share and kind of be whoever you want. And it's just like a fun, almost like creative practice for me sometimes. And then, yeah, she orders an appetizer. She's like, "You have to try some." We're eating off the same plate. She starts talking about her family, and she has an Indian background, and how they're all up in each other's business and the food and all this stuff. And I was like, chewing with food in my mouth, and I was like, "That's hilarious. I know exactly what you're talking about. My family, we're Jewish, and my dad's side is Israeli, and it's the same vibe." And I shared this because I already felt quite safe with her. We were already she kind of saw my heart, I saw hers. We're kind of in this friendship together. We've already been talking maybe for, I don't know, 20 minutes roughly. I wasn't exactly sure how long it had been. And then after I said that, I could feel her energy just kind of shift. And I wasn't even wearing usually I have my star on. I had nothing on. There was no, I was just whatever. There was no identifying me as Jewish unless I said something out of my mouth. And her energy just shifted, and she started to ask me questions like, "No." Then she was like, "Do you have family? Something about Israel. Do I identify as an Israeli?" I think those were the words she used. And I kind of with a tone. And I was like, "What? Do you identify as an American citizen? What does your passport say?" And then she kind of wiped her mouth, I remember, and she's like, "I don't mean to put a damper on our fun times or our friendship, but just so you know, I am wholeheartedly 100% pro-Palestine." And I was like, "Cool, same." I don't know what that, why, me saying that I have a crazy Jewish family that shoves food in my mouth, I turned into this political debate or a conversation, or made you feel a need to bring up your political views on a war when I'm talking about a family dinner plate of food. And it just really threw me off in that moment. And she started to look at me and speak to me. The energy really shift, in her eyes, as if I just got a little emotional, as if I wasn't the same species as her anymore. And I could tell, it wouldn't matter what I said. Her body language and her energy was it doesn't believe me. I'm not the same as her. I'm full of, I don't know, in my mind, I'm like, does she think I'm just full of propaganda? Does she think I have no idea of the reality according to her? Does only one reality fit here in her eyes? Yes, it did, which I learned later. And I had to get the bill. I was feeling very uncomfortable. It was kind of like the wrath of TikTok came at me in real life, and I got very uncomfortable. And all because of, I didn't bring up a political conversation in this moment. Yeah, it didn't matter what I said. Not that I really tried to say too much, but I did. She told me to go back to where I came from. And I was like, "Oh, where is that?" She was like, "Europe, where you came from." And I was like, "You're allowed to have your own opinion. You're allowed to have your own thoughts, ideas, but you're not allowed to have your own facts." And I was like, "Everything else, whether I agree with it or not, it's fine, but I'm not from Europe." And where do you want? You want the Jewish Lebanese, or not Lebanese,
Well, I
sorry,
mean,
say Yemenite people pack their bags and go back to Yemen or back to Iraq or back to Iran? What do you mean go back to where,
Well, also, it's funny because you said she was Indian, right? I just find that
Like,
interesting.
because she wasn't where she came from.
Yeah, it's so hypocritical. But I feel like there is not even feel like I know that like there's this like it seems like almost to me like an indoctrination of like the young people like into seeing things a certain way and then not being able to like open their eyes to see like the duality and complexity of everything going on and see each other as like human beings, you know? It's
Yeah.
like
I essentially expressed a little piece of what you just expressed with us, Sarai, and she told me that I was all lives mattering the situation. And it was just, yeah, there are like so many things that I would say very calmly and very like short. Like I tried not to elaborate too much with her just because I felt like not a lot of receptivity there. And I also, again, was caught off guard. And you think you're going to have all the answers for everything in that type of situation. And your heart just hurts. And you realize that in that moment, you're othered and you're not seen as like the same way that this human sees themselves. And you can feel that like in someone's eyes and in front of someone. And again, like that brushing shoulder space, like we were very close to one another, like our shoulders could almost touch, like how close we were sitting. And also just after expressing like my heart and who I am and sharing pieces of myself with her to then still be put in that like othered box by her right in front of my face. And I told her at the end, I was like, whatever this whole thing was, I just want you to know. If you ever meet another Jewish person or Israeli person, and just based on who they are as like a living, breathing, existing human, you make like these assumptions or you assume that, or you essentially to me, what she did is she acted as if my mere existence was political. And I said that to her and she was like, well, it kind of is like today with what's happening was her response. And I was like, me breathing and living as a Jewish Israeli woman is not political. And it is not a political statement for then to you use as like ammo to then have this like political, like this is not a game. Like this is not a sport. These are
Right.
people's lives and these are people's experiences. And you right away just made all these assumptions about me based on me breathing in a Jewish body.
It's such
And
a
she was like,
poisonous, like, way
yeah.
to think.
Yeah. But her response, she started like rubbing her neck and she was like, I didn't mean to. Like, and then she started to get a little uncomfortable and I was like, but you did. And I was like, that's not okay. And explained very quickly again why. And she was like, okay, well, thanks for talking to me. You were actually really nice. And the way she said that was like, she assumed that I wouldn't be. Like, she assumed that I would be evil
That's what
or
she's been
something.
told, like.
Yeah. And I quickly just like paid and I left. And then I walked out into the street and just like bursted out into tears, just like release all of that, like whatever that was, and all that energy. And it was just so crazy. It was so crazy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, also, oh my gosh. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. And I think we've all experienced some level of something like that happening, you
Yeah,
know?
unfortunately. Yeah.
I feel like we all have kind of experienced this in different ways, and that's part of the reason why I did want to have you on was to like amplify this and like share also this perspective like that we're all human beings and we're going through, you know, our hearts are going through these struggles and we all just want to be seen and respected for being, for just being. And that's the way that to me, that's really the way forward. And I know, I mean, maybe I surround myself in an echo chamber, but I see a lot of people also amplifying that message and giving that message. And even though that was like super shitty and like fucked up and hard, like it seems like you may have like opened her mind and her heart a little bit or something, you
Yeah,
know.
I hope a little bit, even though I get sometimes annoyed that that's not my job, but
Right.
I also hope that I did. And I, yeah, it's I really it's interesting when I'm in really stressful situations, I feel like really grounded, which is funny. And I become like very calm, but I think it's a almost a defense mechanism of like underreacting because I'm in danger, or that's at least the way my body feels. And
I feel like that's definitely better than, you know, flying off the handle. But also, yeah, I mean, given this and your experience and just like and with your expertise and your everything that all the tools that you have, like, do you have any advice for other people who have experienced, or I mean, you know, to be prepared for walking into, hopefully not, but you know, an experience like that could help us.
I find like myself and other people that I've spoken to, we almost like gaslight ourselves in our experiences, or like in the like preemptively thinking like what's possible, like, oh, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe that person didn't actually look at me, or maybe that's not actually what they meant, and almost like downplaying it so much. And what that does, it creates this like disassociation from like reality. It's really changed the way that I've like this like internal gaslighting that I realized I was doing for months. Like, I'm like, am I overreacting on things? Like, is this really happening? And I had like minor incidences before this one in New York. Then I had another one like 2 weeks later, actually in Toronto, which was just so weird. And I was at like a concert, like a classical music concert. And I just, oh my God, I'm blanking on the artist, Yitzhak Perlman.
Okay, yeah.
So I just felt kind of like safe there. Like, I didn't think there'd be any like confrontation at like Perlman classical music. And then this guy just said some weird stuff. And he was like, I was wearing my like little yellow ribbon on my shirt. And then my whole family was there, and they all like went to the bathroom, and I didn't have to go, so I was like waiting alone, like a target without them. And then this guy came up to me, and he goes, "What is your ribbon? Like, what's the yellow?" And I was like, "Oh, you're at a Yitzhak Perlman concert, like you should
Yeah.
know." And I was like,
Right, yeah.
"It's just to like bring the hostages home. That's for the war going on in Israel and the Middle East." And he was like. And then he started bringing up like, oh, like comparing like numbers and like Palestinian death to Israeli death, and just like making it kind of like dark, and just like as if it was like an invitation to like this conversation about like war and numbers and like how many deaths are like okay or not okay. And I was just like, whoa, like this ribbon is not a political statement. It does not mean any of the things that you are like bringing up as this conversation that I really did not like welcome you into. And he was just like, okay, but like you also care about other people, right? And I was like, yeah, of course.
Right.
And he was like, all right, well, God bless you, and hope you love Christians too. And then he like left, and my uncle kind of like saw this weird interaction and like started grabbing my hand. So at the same time, when I was like just trying to like quickly respond to this man and leave, but it was strange.
Yeah, but I feel like there is like this switch that I've seen in people, like where like kind of like darkness like takes over them, like just like negativity, like I don't know, Christians might call like Satan or something, like this like dark like energy will like people's eyes will like glaze over and they're just like da
She
da da
glazed.
da 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 da
Like
da.
this woman at the restaurant, like yeah, her whole energy shifted. And I'm saying this to you, I think, after like last week or something when we connected, Sarai, around like, yeah, it was this energetic switch, and I was like, what is this? Like, is
Right.
she switching because of like these beliefs that she has, or like certain propaganda that really got like fled, or like she just slurped up like Kool-Aid? Or
Right.
is it because like, is it because of me? And then I'm like, is this really how people are gonna perceive like Jewish people and Israelis and just like react to them within this darkness? Like, I don't understand. Like, I was trying to like make sense of like feeling and seeing it like right in front of my face. I know we read about it and see it on online or on Instagram, or like Jewish institutions being attacked, or like kids or whatever, but like in front of my face like that, I was like, whoa,
Yeah.
this is First of all, it's real, so I can stop gaslighting myself. Oh, the thumbs up thing.
No, no thumbs up to that.
No. And second of all, like, what is this? Like, what is this? What does this mean? How is this going to continue? What does this mean for like the future? Like, should I no longer say or like bring up, like, I have a Jewish family, LOL, we eat a lot of food together at dinner in public to strangers. Well, does that put me in danger? The fact that I'm having that thought, like, what does that mean? And like, I also don't want to live in this reality of like this victimhoodness either. I don't want to feel like I'm in danger, other people, like, I don't want to scare other people also, like, with this type of like messaging. But then when I experience that, I'm like, well, like, what does this mean? Like, and in statistics, like, one person with an opinion, I think, equals to like 100 other people carrying that exact same outlook and opinion within a certain amount of like square kilometers of like where you'd that.
Well, let me say, with that said, that I have a friend who is Syrian, and I actually have gotten closer with her since this conflict. And she, you know, like, I don't, we haven't gotten too deep into it, but ultimately, like, we, like, she's been nothing but loving and kind to me, and like, vice versa. And we both are like, we just want the war and the killing to end. Like, we just want, we both want like peace and love, and we both feel like our friendship can be like healing to the collective. And so that's like, you know, on the flip side of that, like, yeah, and her energy is just like sweetness and whatever. And I feel like we have had moments, like, I mean, we definitely have had moments. Like, I've seen her, like, you know, be like a little bit fearful when like certain subjects come up, and I have been too. And then, like, ultimately, like, I feel like we both are open-hearted and loving enough to like want to do the work to like be friends, you know? And so that's something that also is happening at the same time.
Yeah, it
And
all starts like on the ground, like with the people. Like, I say, or I think I've said this out loud, I don't remember. Like, if you're not personally attached to this conflict in any way, your only job is to hold space for these types of friendships, for these types of conversations, to hold space for peace, meaning like saying less divisive things so people on the ground that are actually have ties to this conflict can actually speak to each other. And like, I don't know, when like I have a very small like following online, and still some like random people found me, and I got some like pretty like heinous messages, but also some incredible ones by this guy who, he's like, "Hi, I'm Palestinian Muslim, and I just want you to know that like I stand with you." And we had this whole back and forth. And I also, it's very dangerous for some of them to like speak out about certain things and share certain things very publicly, which I understand. And we won't turn this into a political podcast, but yeah, I was like, this is what's important. Like, this is what we need to leave space for. And a friend of mine, also a client of mine who's in Israel, is like, she doesn't have social media, and she was like, and then sometimes I tell her like kind of what's going on there, because I am on there. And she was like, what is up with these people creating such like, just like giving such like a stage to these like really polarizing like views or conversations or statements? She's like, if people in Israel who are Palestinian or Israeli who have lost family or friends can come together in conversation, because she works with some of these groups that do this type of work, she's like, then everyone else outside of this country or this conflict can definitely do the same. Like, and we had this whole conversation around that. But yeah, I just remembered the question you asked me before, if I have any recommendations for like tools and what to do. Have like safe people around you that you can be witnessed in your experience. It's hard to go through difficult, intense feelings by yourself. So like, yeah, have someone witness you, whether that's like a professional or a friend or a family member, so you can just feel less alone in your experience. And then really, really grounding practices. This is my go-to where I'm just feeling like almost like shaky or out of whack or just really almost like disassociated. And grounding practices can include eating things that are warm, ideally animal-based products. It's very grounding energy in animal-based foods like meat, dairy, eggs. If you don't eat that, just like some warm foods. If you're like, I can't stomach anything right now, have a hot cup of tea. Like sit down, drink tea, take a shower, not a bath, I would do. Because a bath, just like energetically, when you're in a tub of water, like the ocean kind of, it's like the subconscious or like your consciousness. That's like the energy that's related to like bodies of water that are like kind of stagnant. So you're kind of like, in a bath, you're kind of like sitting in your own energy, which there's nothing wrong with baths, but to help move, if you want to move things through, shower or like jump in a river if you have one next to you or outside, to like actually allow things to just like flow off of you, like clean off of you, come off of you. I also just like a simple sweeping exercise, which just is like sweeping like this, like off your arm. You can do it like off your head, off your face, like all the way down the body to the feet and like back up. It's essentially just like physically moving your body, and any type of physical movement will help shift your energy a little bit. You can kind of think like when animals sit for a while, they'll like get up and like do a little shake and then like move on to the next thing. Like we need to act more like dogs as humans. I don't have a dog, but I watch them when they're around. And something else that I would do is read or listen to things that are soothing for you. So whether that's music, whether that's like a funny novel or a show, like just do something that will get your mind on something else versus like on whatever it's ruminating on. Because our minds, our brains will tend to focus on things that never negatively impacted us. So we don't forget them in order for us to not go through them again, in order for our body to try and keep us safe. But we don't need to be ruminating through that. We want to be getting rid of that if
It's
possible.
over. Yeah.
It's over. Yeah. And like talking about it helps, or doing something else, like physical something else. Even though if you don't want to move your body or eat, I would almost force yourself to a little bit, like even just to make that cup of tea or to have that conversation. Yeah.
Wow.
I love that. Thank you so
Yeah,
much.
that's
That's
super
really,
helpful
really,
advice.
yeah, really helpful. Everyone, get your journals out and write that down.
Also,
Bang.
just like get up and move. Like people think energy is like this like ethereal thing. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like it's just literally like I don't mean it like that. I literally like you get up, you move your body, like energy has shifted. Like you feel different, or you're using energy, right? Like so if we're just like still, you'll get all cranked up and you'll start to get sore and you'll be like,
Gosh.
oh, sucks.
Yeah,
And
my
it's like,
back is cracking right now.
yeah, move, move.
Yeah, I mean, all matter is energy, right? Like, matter is protons, neutrons, electrons. It's all just energy buzzing around. Like, everything that seems like a solid thing is made up of energy. So, you
All
can't
dynamic.
not believe in energy. Like, it doesn't matter if you're coming from a scientific perspective or like a religious or a spiritual or whatever. Like, energy is all there is. So.
Yeah. People used to say, like, when I first started to talk about moon up, they're like, but does the moon like really affect us? And I was like, the moon moves the tides of the ocean. Why do you think you're just void of that? Like, it doesn't affect you at all.
You're
Like, it.
immune.
You're immune. You're unaffected by anything. Like.
That's so amazing.
So, another thing that like your story and like everything that we're talking about brings up for me is I have this kind of like idealistic belief, and I think you even kind of touched upon it earlier, but that like of like us as Jews being able to shift our story. Like, we don't have to be victims anymore. Like, we have been victims many times. We have, dealt with discrimination. We have dealt with like hatred. And I'm not trying to deny the reality of what is going on in the world, and that like obviously anti-Semitism has risen, but I am what I want to address is our response to it, and that like I feel like part of the solution is, instead of cowering and hiding, to actually stand stronger and taller. And it's scary. It can be scarier. And sometimes I'm like, I literally am like, am I like doing the right thing by doing this? Because also as a mother, my job is to protect my children above all else. But I also want my children to grow up in a world where they can stand up and be proud of who they are. And I feel like, and you know, what I want to do is change the narrative from like, you know, oh my gosh, like everybody hates us and we're so misunderstood and it sucks, to like, what's not to like? Look at us. Like, you know, what's not to like?
We're obsessed. Oh yeah, it's so interesting. Like, I totally understand what you're saying, and I really appreciate it. And I think we need more voices like that, that people can almost rely on as like examples of like, okay, like how can I show up like unhinged fully as myself and accept myself fully for like whoever and whatever I am, as a Jewish person, and also like still having like the fear around like being in that bigness. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't want to have it anymore. And I was like trying really not to. And then my parents, there was like a Jewish deli that got attacked by like one of the protests, and like spray painted and like burned it. And it's very similar to like my parents' store here in Toronto. And then the like government officials came, and like, I don't know, people from like prime minister's office to my parents' store being like, we're aware of what happened. And just so you know, we're like keeping an eye on everything and blah, blah. And then like the news came or something, and my dad was telling me this, and I was like, wait, did they take your photo? Like, did they write your name? And my dad was like, no, but they want to. I'm like, Dad, I don't want your photo in the paper. Like, and like, it actually scared me. I was like, you know, most people will be like, yeah, but like, even just the one or two people that might see, thumbs up, that might see my dad as like a, may target him because of, like, I don't know, like the Jewishness, or, and they don't even like, they're an Eastern European deli, but they are like, the last place was burnt down because it was like owned by Israelis. Like, my dad's an Israeli and owns a very similar store very close by. And I was just like, no, I don't want that in the news. Like in my head, in my heart, I said that out loud. And I'm like, that's such a weird thing to say. Like, that's such a weird thing to be like afraid of. And, yeah, it's like this like tug and like this tug of war of like, this fear is there, this reality exists, and also I don't want to show up every day in that fear. I want to show up my power. And it's like, how do I show up when I'm literally holding and existing in both places almost simultaneously?
Yeah. And they're both very real, like what you said and what you said. It's really true. And I teeter back and forth between that too, because like, you know, I have my son, and so like, even we'll like run out for ice cream at night and he's wearing his Hanukkah jammies, and a little part of me every time, a little part of me is like, and I'm more aware of my surroundings and stuff like that, and I'm like, it sucks that like I feel this way. And also like what you said, Jordan, reminded me of something. And I'm going to relate it to like a real life activity. So when I first started surfing, I was like really, really scared to go out in the ocean. Like, I was like, there's sharks, there's fish, there's like unknown. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to go out in the ocean. But like, I want to surf, and like my husband bought me a surfboard, and like, I want to be a surfer girl. And I went through like so much of this process, and then it's like, I finally did it, and I was like, good. And nothing could like take away that high and that exhilaration and that like embodied alignment that I felt when I would go out there and catch a wave. And it was because I was doing it despite the fear. It's not like my fear went away and then I started surfing. It was like that existed too. And like, even though I was scared, I chose to be brave.
That's powerful.
And, yeah. And so it was and is like very beautiful in that way. I feel like the things that like really matter the most are scary to do. Like the most light you can hold, it's like maybe like that does leave the other side of the yin yang. Like the more light that you are bringing, the more embodied you are, the maybe more shadow of that you get too.
Yeah, just I kind of see it as like the higher you go in that sense, like the more light that you're able to like share or be in, like that joy, like that like high vibrational emotions, mm-hmm. that also means like the bottom of that grows as well. So mm-hmm. like when we show up for more or when we show up for better, I like to language it around like showing up, like, okay, how do I want to explain this? Like when we crumble over the small things, we're essentially saying to the universe, like, I can't handle better. Because if we can handle the bigger things, like the larger disappointments, that also means that we can handle the larger joys. Like it almost comes simultaneously, like
goosebumps.
So
that's like that's like a yoga thing too, right? I mean, there's like a sutra, I believe, about tapas, like fire, austerity, that to live a life of tapas or fire is to expose yourself to the extremes of pleasure and pain.
Oof, yeah. And not only like crave one. And like what I mean by that is like sometimes when we're in joy, we're already in pain because we're already craving for it to continue in the anticipation that it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. And it's like, in that case, are we really in joy? And then is joy really fully just pleasure? Or is it also the embodiment of like both ends of that at the same time? Mm. It's like in this extreme joy, I also am aware that this is going to leave and that this is not the only thing that exists, but I get to experience it for now. And then can we also have that same understanding when we're in extreme pain? I get that this is my experience for now. I get that this won't always exist, but can I still be in my current experience of this for now?
Mm-hmm.
Like they both kind of leave at the same speed,
right?
But we tend to only like crave one and like have aversion towards the other.
Yeah, but
so I wonder if like,
go ahead.
Just being grounded through all of the feelings, the big ones and the, you know, whatever, like it can help through, you know, for those of us who want to live an expansive life.
I feel like this has been a lovely
conversation. I could talk to you all day.
Yeah,
I'm we could continue this for hours and hours.
I know. I just realized I'm like, we're going on like an hour and a half right now. And I totally felt like, okay, it's been like probably an hour.
Like it's been like 20 minutes. No.
Yeah.
People listening would be like, okay, no, it hasn't.
No, but I feel like that's so, there's so much good content here. And
we're in it. I love this. You know. Definitely one of my favorite episodes to date. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for having me. And like, yeah, just chatting and having this platform. And it's been such a pleasure, like meeting you for the first time, Jordan.
Yes, like, you too. I'm like, let's stay in touch, please.
Oh, I want you to message me every time you menstruate and to figure out the length of your cycle to understand what's going on.
All right. Thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah.
That's very, very kind of
Ruthie,
you're
incredible.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
So can you just let our audience know where they can find you and how they can work with you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So right now you can find me on Instagram at Ruthie's World. And I think my website is in my, I was going to say in my DMs. What's it called? In my bio. Mm-hmm. And I also, yeah, that's the best way. I'm not going to give out my private email. Yeah. But like, you can message me there.
Find her on Instagram.
Yeah.
What did you say before you're like, I want to have like a like cult?
Oh yeah, I was like, I'm starting a cult because this
a cult of love,
a cult of whatever I want it to be. Love 1 week, maybe it's not the next. Like it's not up to you. It's my cult.
It's you. Yes.
But yeah, I said a friend of mine who was like, is like we were just talking about how like certain people in the wellness industry or whatever you want to kind of categorize this umbrella as show up online and like some people are like, oh, it's like it was what they're saying. Oh my God, what's happening?
Listening auditorily right now, Ruthie has fireworks going off behind her.
His background.
Thank you, Zoom.
Gesturing.
The
That's so
angels are like, yay.
funny. But yeah, we were
They're like,
saying
you
that, like,
should start a cult. Hooray.
got so excited. My hands started like talking more than my mouth, and my screen was like, we got to do something about this. Yeah, we're saying how like people show up online sometimes it's like they're saying certain things like if you want to change like you have to do these things if this isn't working you have to do and also I'm always like if someone's telling you exactly like they have the answer run like no one does like it's just yeah
Yeah.
but I'm like it's kind of like cult behavior but then I'm like aren't we all kind of starting a cult like aren't we all just like putting ourselves out there and like saying what we're all about understanding what our values are or just like unhinged opinions, or just like expressing our personalities, and whoever's kind of picking up what I'm putting down, like, come on in, like,
Yeah.
join this cult, like, let's
Yes.
start
Drink the
to
Kool-Aid. Drink the Kool-Aid.
drink the Kool-Aid. Like, yeah, it's just
I
a
love
funny
that.
anecdote.
Everyone, go follow Ruthie's World. Remember to like and subscribe. Leave a little review if you liked what you heard or saw. And yeah, do you have any last little things that you want to say to put a button on it?
Yeah, if you're feeling off, confused, you don't know where you're going in life, I advise you to check in with yourself if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you slept well, where you're at in your cycle. And if all those four things are taken care of during those intense thoughts or feelings, which they probably aren't, then like go like do something about it. A professional or on your own or journal. And if not, like sometimes like people don't even realize like just have a drink of water. Just like eat a meal. Just like sit down. Just like go to sleep. People are like, what should I do? I'm like basic human.
No, it's so true. I'm like, I love that. You said drink water. I picked up my water, but then when you said go to sleep, like the little kid in me was like, no.
I don't want to tell anyone what to do. Wait, little laugh
I'm like, I
button.
won't go to bed. I want to stay up late, but like, I know I need to go to so many arguments between me and my husband. Like, if I just went to sleep, would not exist. Like,
Yeah, sleep is
just tired.
so, yeah, sleep, it changes a person. But yeah, my last button to leave people would be take a shower. It'll help clear energy, you'll feel better. And yeah, honestly, it's my go-to.
I love that. I've been using that too, actually, without,
Even realizing.
Yeah, exactly. I've been using it to move energy. I realized, like, because I thought I was doing it because it was the only time I was alone, which is part of it. But also, like, and I'm aware of the water, like, moving the energy too. But you saying it is like, it just feels like I'm like, oh, yeah, all makes sense.
Oh, makes sense. Or yeah, go pee. You're also alone there, hopefully. I
Not always, but sometimes. I have three under three. Or no, now my son is three, but
Oh, he's
yeah.
gonna be three. Wow. It's an
Yeah.
honor to be with mamas, truly.
Thanks.
God's real work is in the hands of the women raising children.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Well, it's been an honor having you here.
Yes.
And
we'll see you again soon. I mean, maybe we'll do this again sometime.
Yeah, she'll be messaging you about her period.
I
Yeah. Now I've really opened like the gates to that. No, but I love
will.
it. I'm excited.
All right. Bye,
Amazing.
everybody. Have a great day. Happy ER.